now to the continuing tensions between the medical mainstream and alternative health disciplines. A new group called Friends of Science in Medicine has formed to lobby against universities offering alternative medical qualifications, everything from Chinese herbal medicine to chiropractic degrees and things in between like acupuncture, naturopathy, herbal medicine. The group of more than 400 doctors, medical researchers and scientists say universities are damaging their reputations by giving, quote, undeserved credibility to what would be better described as quackery. They also want the government to stop subsidising complementary medicine through the private health insurance rebate, through which taxpayers effectively pay for things like iridology and shiatsu. Well, there's a lot of different perspectives on this, you can imagine. Emeritus Professor John Dwyer of the University of New South Wales is co-founder of the group Friends of Science in Medicine. He's also government advisor on consumer health fraud. Karen Phelps is adjunct professor at Sydney University and the University of New South Wales Faculties of Medicine, and she's the current president of Australasian Integrative Medicine Association. She's also co-author of the medical text General Practice, The Integrative Approach. John Dwyer, Karen Phelps, welcome to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning, Fran.
John Dwyer, let's begin with you. You say you find it distressing that 19 Australian universities now offer, quote, degrees in pseudoscience. What do you mean?
Well, those subjects that are taught as if they were science, but which actually have not one shred of credibility in scientific terms, the fact that they are taught as subjects in our universities, which have an excellent reputation in general for science, teaching good science, evidence-based science, is something that we think is distressing. We're talking about nonsense things like homeopathy, reflexology, iridology, healing touch therapies, energy medicine, some of the chiropractic principles that which are built around a belief of an innate energy flow up and down the spine that controls 95% of the health of the body.
Can I just interrupt you?
Without credibility and should not be taught in a university. This is only giving the public, confusing the public by making them think, well, there must be something in it if the universities are teaching it.
Okay, let's try and be exactly clear, though. In terms of our universities and the 19 universities you're concerned about, are there degrees in homeopathy being taught, degrees in iridology and reflexology? I mean, are they courses being offered?
Well, there are courses being offered in chiropractic and sure. Bachelor of Science degrees in a number of these alternative things, but they're often included. The teachings are often included in courses that for naturopathy and the like. But it's these nonsense pseudosciences being taught as if they were science that we really object to, even in. You know, we've just heard in the last week, coincidentally, that the UK government has just withdrawn funding for universities offering alternative medicine degrees. We've even had in Germany, the home of homeopathy, we've had insurance companies announce that they'll no longer pay for homeopathy. Fran, we live in the most scientific of all ages, and we just simply can't tolerate in our universities teaching things that are totally and utterly without any scientific base.
Your concern is that complementary medical practices are not evidence-based. What's this threshold of evidence that you regard as basic? What is it?
Well, it's certainly that something has been subjected to careful, rigorous analysis and been found to have some level of support. Now, that level of support might be that, yes, that's clearly factual, or it might be that it's worthy of further research. And I would point out immediately that the Friends of Science in Medicine are not in any way opposed to research into alternative medicine in universities, providing that they're done well. We strongly support research, and for years now I've been writing that science should be the vehicle that converges what is called alternative medicine with orthodox medicine, because in reality it is only good and bad medicine, and if something's found to be good, then it should be used by the mainstream. It should just become part of good medicine.
So isn't that a contradiction here with your argument? I mean, if these disciplines aren't studied at university, how can you have the trials and the research required to prove or disprove their efficacy?
Well, the real difference is that where things are taught not as if it's a research subject, but are given credibility, people are actually given the impression that what they're hearing is truth, like talking about homeopathy or reflexology or healing touch. Where the impression for the student is that that is truth that they're hearing, that is what we're objecting to. Where some particular Chinese herb or some alternative medicine is showing some signs that it might possibly be of use, then it should be studied. Acupuncture, I suppose, is a classic example. We all feel that there's very little evidence to support the use of acupuncture for very many things at the moment, but it's an interesting topic and there is enough in it to warrant doing some more research.
So it's interesting you should raise acupuncture.
We certainly are not opposed to research, and universities are a good place to do research. What we're absolutely opposed to is giving students and the public the impression that there is some scientific validity to things like homeopathy and energy medicine and some of the nonsense talked by chiropractors, etc.
Let's bring in Professor Karen Phelps here. As I mentioned, Karen Phelps is an adjunct professor at the medical faculties at Sydney University and UNSW. Karen Phelps, what do you make of that position of John Dwyer? Do you agree with him that the universities are teaching some courses and giving credence to courses that aren't based in science and, as he described it, in a nonsense? Are you concerned about this? Does this worry you?
I think the important point that you drew out of Professor Dwyer was that, in fact, there are not degree courses in homeopathy and reflexology. But I do think it's very important that these issues are discussed and the evidence for and against presented to students in a very clear evidence-based way, not just say we can't talk about this in universities or complementary medicine courses because it doesn't have as substantial an evidence base as something else. I think that really is counter-intellectual, and it is very important that doctors and other healthcare professionals have a very broad basis in what treatments are being offered to our patients, to consumers, and so that we can provide evidence-based, informed advice to our patients. Now, every day of the working week, I spend talking to patients, real people with real health problems, about the options before them. Now, if I hadn't informed myself about what might or might not work for them, then I wouldn't be able to have that informed discussion.
Professor Dwyer mentioned just before about acupuncture, very little scientific evidence, he said, for acupuncture. Is acupuncture something you might recommend to a patient?
I recommend acupuncture virtually every day of the week, and in my clinics I have an acupuncture practitioner in both of my clinics, and I refer very actively for that treatment where I think it's appropriate. Now, if you look at the Cochrane field, which is, I guess, the worldwide international collaboration on drawing together evidence, there is a very large acupuncture field where reviews of the efficacy of acupuncture have actually been examined and increasingly will continue to be examined. Now, I can remember, no, probably only 20 years ago, and I've been in practice for 30 years now, continuously, and probably only 20 years ago, we were hearing these sorts of arguments about how acupuncture was all crackery, there was no possible theoretical way that it could work, and we have moved on. We've moved on because we have taken an intellectual view of looking at the efficacy of acupuncture, and I think one of the important points to make is that this group, many of the people who John Dwyer is calling the friends of science in medicine, would not call themselves the enemies of science in complementary medicine.
Professor Dwyer, is that fair enough?
Well, no, look, there's a couple of points. First of all, there have been 57 papers on research papers on acupuncture published since 2000. The only conclusion that that analysis of all of those papers comes to is that there is looks like there's some definite activity with some definite help for people with neck pain who get acupuncture, but just about everything else either needs further research or has been found not to be effective. Now,
excuse me. What about the evidence on fertility?
People off for a wide range of things for acupuncture, you're not practicing good medicine. I certainly agree with Karen that we need all of our medical students, nurses, allied health professionals. We need them to understand the claims, as I would put it, often nonsense claims made by many alternative practitioners, so they can advise their patients. Fran, I'll just very quickly read you an email I got this morning. It says it's from a clinical psychologist who wanted to join the Friends, and he says, I work with severely cognitively impaired children and adults. Last Tuesday, I saw a family who in 18 months have spent $40,000 on chiropractors, acupuncturists, and other charlatans to treat their son who has autism. Their rationale, they told me, was that these practitioners hold Australian university degrees and are recognised in some cases by the government. They have wasted money and missed developmental opportunities to help him with speech and behaviour in favour of quackery. The hundreds of emails like this have been flooding into us. So the bottom line, of course, is to try and make sure the public gets the very best in this most scientific all of ages of evidence-based medicine.
Professor Dwyer, isn't there a case, though, for consumers to look at the strictly medical model and those trained in the medical schools and think that they don't have necessarily the answers to everything, and they've gone there and they don't get the response and the results and they don't like the attitudes and they want more and they're searching for more? I mean, that's human nature, and there is plenty stories, I would imagine, of people who went to the medical profession and were let down and went to the complementary medical profession and got some success.
Well, look, we're the last thing that we're saying is that orthodox medicine, doctors in particular, don't need to continue to look at how they can improve their interaction with their patients to help them, make them understand what we can and cannot do, but also protect them from what has absolutely no chance of helping them.
But where do you draw the line? Let me give you the example, Professor.
You don't need to have a vaccine. I can give you a homeopathic preparation that's just as good. That's a very dangerous delusion in this most scientific of all ages.
But as Professor Phelps just reminded us, 20 years ago, GPs thought acupuncture was a dangerous delusion, and now some are using themselves. The same could be said for fish oil. You know, 20 years ago, fish oil was only prescribed by naturopaths. Doctors wouldn't have had a look at it. Now, the literature's caught up with it, and cardiologists are prescribing fish oil.
Look, there's so much of what we do in modern medicine that's good, of course, has come from traditional observations that something might be useful, and then good research has proven it. In times gone by, people used to take the foxglove plant and it seemed to have some effect on heart failure. Now we know the active ingredient was digoxin. It's been purified and it can be used as a medicine.
Okay, let me bring in Professor Phelps to that suggestion that, of course, it's not saying everything is based on nonsense, but you need to prove it.
I think that there is a burden of proof, no matter what the healthcare practice. For example, doctors were prescribing hormone replacement therapy for 50 years without really looking at what it was doing in terms of breast cancer risk for women and how many breast cancers were created by people saying, oh, you can just take hormone replacement therapy forever and it's not going to cause you any harm. Well, of course it did. How many elderly people have had severe gastrointestinal bleeds or died because they were prescribed non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs for their osteoarthritis? My challenge to Professor Dwyer is, what would he do with a menopausal woman who was having severe problems with menopause who came to ask him about what to do if she couldn't take hormone replacement therapy? What would he do for an elderly patient with osteoarthritis who could not take a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory or where it was inappropriate and the Panadol wasn't helping their pain? There are vast numbers of clinical scenarios for real people that walk into my office every single day that I have to reach way beyond my traditional medical training. And if you're actually really interested in evidence, the overwhelming evidence shows that putting complementary therapies into universities is the best thing to improve standards, promote research, and to protect the public. So if we're interested in protecting the public, if we're interested in evidence, you do not remove the discussion and the teaching and the research of complementary medicine from universities.
Professor Dwyer, is
the
it akin...
The absolute evidence is the absolute contrary. Not about research. As I said, we are absolutely in favour of research, and I've written about the extreme importance of research, hopefully eventually getting rid of the whole concept of an alternative system and just concentrating on good medicine.
Well,
It's not about knowledge. It's about the presentation of absolute anti-science, like homeopathy. It's the presentation of that to students in a university course as if that has some validity.
Well, Professor,
one of the interesting things, Fran, is if you start looking as I have been doing, at some of the graduates of some of these programs in naturopathy and the like, and you go to their website and you see what they're practicing, you find everything from crystal medicine to healing touch to
some of which consumers ask for.
Universities certainly aren't teaching these students critical thinking so that they can protect their patients from nonsense. They're practicing nonsense.
I'll give Karen Phelps a go in a moment, but I am interested in her challenge to you. What would you do in those scenarios if people came to you and they were unable to take certain or the only option and answer that medicine has for them? What would you do for the postmenopausal woman?
What their other options are,
but he doesn't
certainly
know
wouldn't
what would they be
suggesting that they go off and take plant estrogens and a whole host of other things which are often used in the alternative world, which have been shown not to be effective.
But John Dwyer, isn't the important point for you to know what the alternatives are? You would have had to learn that.
Build a really good relationship with your patient and explain to them what works, what we don't know. Be honest about it, but certainly not let them drift off into dangerous hands.
Okay, but I guess the point is that Karen Phelps has been making is that you wouldn't know what the options are if you haven't studied them.
Well, you know, the options that are available of anything that's effective and has been shown to be effective because of science, because of research, of course, I would know about it.
But that's
them,
just
so
not
my
true.
Professional colleagues.
That's just
where
not
is,
true.
Where there is no evidence, there's no evidence.
That's just not true. I mean, if Professor Dwyer actually came to one of the conferences where the evidence for research in complementary medicine was presented, then I would take these comments more seriously. If he actually spoke to patients and was fully informed about the evidence for alternatives to pharmaceutical products, to surgery, to people just having to suffer chronic disease without looking at the incredible range of therapies that are available to them, then we would be able to have a more informed discussion here. But the thing is that if you just say it's all nonsense, it's very uninformed and it is very frustrating for people who've actually looked at the evidence, who practice in an integrative way and who are interested in the real evidence behind what complementary medicines can provide for patient care.
And just, I'm going to butt in here because we're almost out of time, and another doctor, Norman Swan, is waiting in the wings to give us his view. But John Dwyer and Karen Phelps, I'm interested just briefly on your thoughts about the consumer demand. John Dwyer, presumably you've had people come to you who want to know more, who want to know about what homeopathy could offer them, or acupuncture or herbal medicine.
Absolutely, and that's why it's important that health professionals understand the claims that are being made and the basis on which they're made. And of course there are many alternative practitioners and naturopaths and things who give perfectly sound advice about lifestyle management and the like.
And they're more likely to be university trained.
So-called pseudosciences, pretending that they understand mechanisms, physiological mechanisms that really don't exist, and proceed to try and go way beyond their level of competency in trying to help people. That's what we're worried about, and that's what we don't want universities giving any credibility to.
And Karen Phelps, that is an issue. Some natural therapists overclaiming. I mean, now, are there alternative medicines you're prepared to publicly state have no value?
Absolutely. And I think that the important thing is that if we want to protect patients, if we want to have an evidence base across all of the different health practices, then the worst thing you can possibly do is to remove them from the university environment, to remove discussion about evidence-based complementary medicines from the discussion within universities, and to remove complementary medicine training from universities, because we know that that is the way of forcing practices which consumers want into the fringe. What we want to do is to integrate into the mainstream so that that which works, that which consumers can benefit from, does have an evidence base, and the practitioners are well-trained and prepared for working with doctors, not against doctors.
Does that legitimise them, though, as John Dwyer is concerned about?
I think it's important that we have the discussion, an integrated discussion about what works and what does not work. And the thing is that there is no one type of healthcare practice which has a monopoly on evidence. Working, as I said, as a clinician for 30 years, I have seen medical fads come and go. ago. And I think that it's only through evidence that we see what, in fact, we are doing in prescribing and recommending to patients, we can continue to do so, and how we can evolve our practice as well. And for me and for my colleagues in integrative medicine, part of that evolution has been integrating evidence-based complementary medicine. And nobody has done that by being unscientific or operating out on the fringe or doing things that are dangerous or unsafe for patients, but in looking at what is safe and evidence-based and drawing that into practice and working with well-trained complementary practitioners in a coordinated and cooperative way and not in this combative and divisive way.
Professor Karen Phelps and John Dwyer.
Evidence-based, we know, can only come from research. No disagreement with that.
Okay, Professor Dwyer.
Let's not pretend that that's only research that's going on at universities. Students are getting totally wrong impressions about pseudoscience.
All right, we'll leave it there. Professor Phelps and Professor Dwyer, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Fran.
You're welcome.
Karen Phelps is adjunct professor at Sydney University and the University of New South Wales Faculties of Medicine, and she's the current president of the Australasian Integrative Medicine Association and author of the medical text General Practice, The Integrative Approach. And John Dwyer, emeritus professor at the University of New South Wales, co-founder of the Friends of Science in Medicine. You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 26 past 8.
Australia's first BB cream by Garnier with mineral pigments and vitamin C. It unifies, corrects, brightens, moisturises, protects from UV. Instantly healthy glowing skin. The BB cream by Garnier. Try it. You'll love it.
Take care. Garnier.
Oh,